What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Happy Monday morning to everybody. Hopefully I can make this Monday morning a little better for you, a little easier on your drive in. Warriors played the Bulls and the Mavs this last weekend. Going to cover both those games coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What up, everybody? Welcome in to Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. What's good out there? As we know, the Warriors smacked the Bulls Friday night. I want to take just a couple minutes to talk about. I know there's not a lot to take from it. Warriors did what they're supposed to do, and as I've mentioned before, the Bulls are the team that I trust the least in the NBA. Like, you know, if the Warriors play the Suns and the Suns give them a game, not surprised. Suns are capable. Orlando. Yeah, you know, they've got players who can do it. The Bulls, I just don't see it. And after a 37-point loss to the Warriors, the Bulls extended Jim Boylan. So, I don't know. They're the freaking Bulls. I don't know what to tell you. But couple things from that game. Again, it wasn't anything incredible. It's weird. It was one of those blowouts that got pretty boring, actually. You know, some blowouts are fun because someone's going crazy and, you know, Clay's hitting 10 threes and this and that. Nah, it was pretty well distributed throughout the starters. Clay might not have had 10 threes. He did have 7. He went 7 of 11 from 3. 30 points. He was good. He continued his run of good play and his run of great play against the Bulls. He owns the Bulls. I don't know what it is about them, but it's something about the red, I guess. I don't know. He goes off. He is now, what, 21 of 35 from three against him this year? So not bad. Not bad. Again, pretty standard. Steph had 28. He was 5 of 11 from three. Again, nothing crazy, but except for the fact he had 8 assists, Draymond had 7 assists, and KD had 5 assists. So between all the starters, they had 26 assists between the 5. And so Draymond had 7, Kevin had 5, Kevon had 5, Steph had 8, Klay had 1. Oh, it's so Klay, it's the best. That's perfect. That's the Klay we need, all right? Let's not make any scenes about getting assists or anything, man. Klay gets buckets. 38 assists from the Warriors. Again, that's Warriors basketball. But at the same time, I can't ignore their opponent, you know? Maybe it's not something they can do every game, get 38 assists. Maybe only against the Bulls. But either way, they did it against the Bulls. And it was a entertaining game. Kind of. The plus minus is pretty funny for the starters. Draymond Green plus 25. Klay Thompson plus 30. Kevon Looney plus 35. Steph plus 39. KD plus 42. So, yeah, starters did pretty good. Again, it's the Bulls, and I think I've already spent too much time on the starters, at least. There was something I did want to talk about in this game, and it doesn't matter a lot, but it was also still nice to see. Was in garbage time, Marcus Derrickson, Jordan Bell, and Quinn Cook all went off. They all went off in garbage time, which, again, I can't tell you it means a ton, but it was fun. It was good to see, especially for a guy like Jordan Bell, who he ended up with 13 points, only 1 rebound, 2 assists, 2 blocks. But the 13 points was impressive because he went 6 of 10 from the field, and I think 5 of those were jump shots. So he was really trying to show that he can shoot the jumper, and not only was he shooting it, he also took Feliciano, I think is his name, off the dribble a couple times, to the point that it actually got him a new nickname from Jonas Jerebko on Instagram. I reposted on Twitter. Check it out. But Jonas calls him Iso Bell now. So that's the name, Iso Bell. Speaking of Jonas, he was fine. Solid game. He wasn't much for the garbage time. He was out there, but he wasn't doing much. He was letting the kids go for it Marcus Derrickson, as you guys have heard me talk about, I like him. I'm high on him. He's got a future in the league. Hopefully that future is with the Warriors. 4 of 8 from the field, 1 of 4 from three. He knocked down his first shot, which was like a step back three in the corner. Bench goes crazy. And then he got kind of three happy, missed his next three, and then started getting into the lane, rebounding, and showing off his mid-range too. The guy can shoot, and he's not afraid either. So I was glad to see that, and I'm excited for his future. And I hope it's with the Warriors. I've been talking him up ever since Summer League, and I'm glad he's still with the organization and hopefully will remain with the organization. And then the last one, Quinn Cook, he was 7-11 from the field, only 1 of 4 from three, but he did have 15 points, 5 rebounds, and 4 assists. So he was doing it out there. He was a plus 10, Bell was a plus 9, Derrickson, sadly, minus 3, because he only played in garbage time. But Quinn, it was a solid outing for him as well. He was getting it done in the lane and mid-range. So it was good to see. I enjoyed it at least, because you get a glimpse of Marcus Derrickson, who we don't get to see a lot unless you watch G League, which I'm, you know, almost embarrassed to admit I do. But the kid can play. The kid can play. And not to look too far ahead, but if for some reason, who knows what's going to happen with Jonas Jerebko after this year. I'll put it that way. He's playing really well. He could get an offer that the Warriors might not be able to pay for. And if that happens, then Marcus Derrickson should get an opportunity to fill that spot. That's the way I'll put it. That's how high I am on him. Seeing Jordan Bell get buckets and get them in a way that he usually doesn't. Seeing that jumper fall the way it did, too. I know it was 4 or 5 in a row jump shots that he knocked down. And coming off the dribble, too. So that was good to see. And then Quinn Cook, just continuing to watch Quinn Cook play well. I like him. I think he should get more playing time. I've said it a bunch, but I was glad to see it. One last thing from the Bulls game. Steph officially passed Jason Terry and is now third all-time in three-pointers made all-time. And the, you know, great accomplishment. Congrats, Steph. I think we all figure he'll be number one soon enough. But the craziest part about him getting to three and just seeing these stats is he basically has done, he's done it in half the time that it took Jason Terry, Ray Allen, Reggie Miller to get to their numbers. So, shout out, Steph. It's great. It was cool. Cool moment. He took the ball home, said he hopes he can get Reggie and Ray to sign it for him. And, yeah. So, that pretty much covers the, you know what? I spoke too soon. I talked about it before they played, that they were playing Robin Lopez and that we were going to overanalyze any interactions that you know, Steph or anyone had with him before or after the game. Well, it turns out it was during the game. Robin Lopez takes a three, top of the arc three, knocks it down, and does his signature tea drinking celebration, I guess you call it, where he takes the cup, dips the tea bag in, slams the tea, throws the cup away. And you guys can check it out on Twitter. I have it up on my Twitter page. You can easily find it if you haven't seen it. But Steph and KD absolutely lost their minds over that celebration. They love it. So, I mean, it's all but confirmed. Robin Lopez is a Warrior. And they could use him too. But lock it up. He's a Warrior. Get the jersey ready. He'll be here in a couple weeks. No, it was pretty funny. It's a funny little clip. Doesn't mean anything. I hope Robin Lopez is a Warrior because the Warriors could use him. But who knows what's going to happen. Anyways, coming up next, going to talk about the Mavs game from yesterday. Warriors played a hell of a game. Played a hell of a game. It's coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. What's good? Warriors beat the Dallas Mavericks 119-114 in Dallas. Hell of a game. Hell of a game. The Warriors, between the Kings games and the Dallas games, man, they've had some barn burners. Or I guess it'd only be a barn burner in Dallas, right? So, Warriors get the win, 119-114. Steph goes off for 48 points. He basically carried the game. the only Warriors to really have good games were Steph and KD. Everyone else, man, it was ugly. Ugly. Klay kind of fell back into his slump, so to speak. He didn't fall back into the slump. I guess I'll start with Klay then. He didn't fall back into his slump. Like, you're allowed to have a bad game here or there, obviously. I don't expect him to be great every single game. But this is a stat line and a game just in general that looked more like what we saw games 1 through 36 than the last five games we've seen. He went 7 for 20, 2 of 11 from 3, 4 rebounds, 1 assist. It was not good. It was not good. He did hit some buckets late in the game that helped. He had a fast break where he took it to the hoop himself and was able to score. It was risky, but, I mean, that's Klay's confidence right there. He was getting after it. But, yeah, the stat line was rough. The shooting was really rough. The hope is that it's just, you know, a bad game. No, well, not just a bad game. He has had trouble in Dallas this year. 2 of 11 from 3 tonight, last game against them. He was 2 of 16. So if my math serves me right, that's 4 of 27 from 3 in Dallas. Not good. Not good. He did play some solid defense against Luka at times. So, you know, as I've said before, that's the nice thing about Klay is he's a more rounded player than most scorers. So even when he is slumping, he does give you something defensively. But, yeah, he was bad tonight. I mean, that's all there is to it. He was just bad. Steph, obviously the headliner. We're going to talk a bunch about him. Going to talk about Durant also. Want to go through some notes that I took during the game because it was a good one. And something we've seen this year with the Warriors and, you know, maybe it's the opponent. Maybe I need to give more credit to the opponent and less blame to the Warriors. But, you know, they'll get out to a 10, 12-point lead and you're thinking, all right, this is where they then push it to 22 or something. You know, wrap this game up. And they haven't been able to do that this season, much at least. So I'll just give the credit to the opponent, like I said, because I don't see anything where they just start, you know, lollygagging or quit playing hard or anything. But this was one of them. I think they got out to a 12-point lead, and the Mavs were able to just fight their way back. And part of why the Mavs played so well is because they got contributions from pretty much everyone. I mean, Dirk, not so much in his 7 minutes, but everyone else played pretty damn well for them. I mean, HB took 10 threes, knocked down 4 of them, had 22 points on the night. Luka had 26. Luka's good, you guys. He's really good. I'm not going to go into how good and all that because if you're an NBA fan, you've heard it from every other outlet that covers the NBA. So I'll just leave it at that. But good win for the Warriors. It was nice to beat Luka because, man, some of the coverage is a little much. But he is great, probably going to be Rookie of the Year. Anyways, first quarter, KD came out hot. And you felt like he had a little extra motivation going up against the Mavs and Luka, especially with the most recent All-Star voting, where Luka is second among the forwards and KD's third, which, you know, It'll work itself out. Luka's got a whole country behind him voting for him also. And the fan vote isn't the only vote that decides the starters. But still, you know, you thought KD might have a little something extra for him, and he did, especially early. KD was energized, and it wasn't just offensively. Funny moment early in the game. Maxi Kleba. I think I said that right. Either way, that's how I'm going to say it. Moxie Kleba took a three that KD blocked, picked it up, fast break dunk, standard dunk, nothing crazy, and Jordan Bell gave him a 7 out of 10 on the sideline. Rough judging, but I get it. There was very little flash to it, so 7 out of 10 seems fine. I'll allow it. Klay, you could tell early Klay was off, and like I've said with Klay and Steph and KD is, even when these guys are having bad three quarters, one good quarter from them turns that into a good game. But you could tell early Klay was just off. The shots were falling short, clanking pretty damn hard. You could just tell. In the first quarter, it was ugly. The Mavs were killing the Warriors on the boards. The Mavs had 19 rebounds overall, 8 of them offensive in the first quarter. The Dubs had 12 rebounds, only 2 offensive. Which then also speaks to the fact that the Mavs had 14 second chance points in the first quarter. Dubs had 2. So they were getting outplayed. They were getting outplayed early, and as far as the scoring goes for the Dubs, you know, they were able to stay in the game, especially in the first quarter, because all 25 of their points were scored by Steph Curry and Kevin Durant. Steph Curry and Kevin Durant scored all 25 points. No one else had scored a bucket, a free throw, anything in that first quarter for the Warriors. And 9 players played in that first quarter. That's terrible. That's terrible, but that's also part of what you get when you're as top-heavy as the Warriors are, I guess. I don't know if it's just me. Seems like the Warriors have a habit of leaving not just players wide open for three, but like some of the best shooters on the other team open for three. We saw it against the Kings with Buddy Hield, and we saw it with Wes Matthews tonight in Dallas. They were able to correct it after the first quarter, but he had some wide open looks that, you know, I don't know. You might want to defend the team's best shooter. Dubs are just small. Man, they're small right now when it comes to the front court. And that's, like I've said, one of the biggest benefits of getting Boogie back. It's not just you're getting this all-star DeMarcus Cousins back. You know, a great player. We'll see how great he is off the injury, all that. But the fact that you're just getting a massive human being to play against other massive human beings is going to be a major plus. Dallas played great, and they are great at home. They are 16-4 at home, 16-5 now after tonight's loss, and 4-18 on the road. So they play great at home. They do. They get to the line a lot at home too. One thing I noticed that will be interesting to keep an eye on moving forward was Steph Curry played the entire first quarter tonight, and it'll be interesting to see how Steve Kerr decides to play it. It looked like Jarebko was going to come in for Steph with about 2 minutes left, but I don't know if, you know, there just wasn't any stoppage to bring him in, whatever. But Steph did end up playing the entire first quarter. And to start the second, he was on the bench, so was KD, obviously. No Quinn Cook in the first half, which, I don't know, with how well he's been playing, I'd like to see him, but, you know, got to trust Steve, I guess, but some of his rotation calls are just weird to me, especially on a night when no one is scoring, when no one besides Steph or KD can get you a bucket. I don't know. Maybe let Quinn Cook get a couple shots up, but I guess not. So he did not play the entire first half, but in the second quarter, Clay was continuing to miss, but I have to give Jonas Jerebko a lot of credit. As soon as he came in, he was all over the boards. He helped turn it around in that second quarter as far as rebounding goes. In the second quarter, Jonas Jerebko had 3 offensive, 3 defensive rebounds in 4 minutes, 51 seconds. That's pretty damn good, especially when the Warriors were getting their asses kicked on the boards. So in the second quarter, Warriors had 6 offensive rebounds, 9 defensive, 15 overall to the Mavs, 3 offensive rebounds, 5 defensive, 8 overall. So we're starting to see it even out a little bit. But still, there are times where just the size of the other team is just, the Warriors cannot overcome it. But Jonas came in, saw what he needed to do, and was getting it done, at least on the boards. It's funny, watching this game, and I've kind of thought this for a while, the Mavs have the fives, the centers, that would be perfect for the Warriors. DeAndre Jordan and Dwight Powell. Now, DeAndre's not what he once was defensively, but, you know, both vertical spacers, both can run the floor a little bit, especially Dwight. Both would be good on the Warriors. But again, they don't have either of them, so it doesn't really matter. Something I saw tonight, though, that was encouraging, and not that it's been bad recently or anything. I think the stagger has definitely affected it. But Steph and KD's chemistry is as good as it's ever been on court, at least. And that was part of the bad part about the stagger, was it, I don't know if it hurt it or just it was the fact that they weren't really playing together that much anymore. But they just have an understanding of each other's game that is so much better than it used to be. Steph ended up, he had 30 with about, what, 7.5 minutes left to go in the game. As we know, he ended with 48. He was a beast, but just watching him and KD play off each other tonight was a reminder of how good they were early in the year before the Warriors started staggering their minutes and, you know, before some of the drama and all the other stuff. Anyways, so Steve Kerr takes Steph out with 1:44 left in the third, and Steph still sits out to start the fourth. He comes back in with about 8.5 minutes left, which is interesting because that was one of the weird parts about the stagger was just the allocation of minutes to where Steph would have to take a break during the fourth, this or that. And Steve Kerr actually addresses it later in postgame, which I'm going to play for you in a little bit. But I just wanted to get to Steph and KD's nights because besides those two, no one really had a good game. Yes, Klay was the third leading scorer with 16, but I would say the next best offensive game of the night would go to Alphonso McKinney, who was 4 for 5 from the field, 2 for 3 from 3 for 10 points. He also had 5 rebounds, 3 offensive. He's really good. I like him a lot. You're just going to hear me continue to talk about him. He had a block tonight also. He was really good for the Warriors. Got 16 minutes tonight, which was good to see. I hope that continues. You've heard me say it before, but knowing Steve Kerr, you know, McKinney might get a DNP next game. Who knows? But he was really good tonight, and it was good to see him go 2 for 3 from 3 also, because he had been struggling a little bit. But at the same time, when you only get to shoot, you know, 1 3 a game, which had been the pattern over the last, you know, 10, 12 games where he is getting about 8 minutes a game and getting 1 3, I don't hold it against him too hard because that's tough to knock down a ton of threes when you're barely getting any time. And maybe I'm just making excuses, but bottom line, he was good tonight. So Steph, you know what? Let me go to KD first because Steph's the headliner here. KD had a solid KD game. He was better defensively tonight than we've seen recently. He went 10 of 21 from the field, 2 of 4 from 3. Was able to get to the line, which was tough for the Warriors tonight. He was 6 of 7 from the line. He had 7 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks. He was everywhere defensively. He played really well defensively tonight. When the Warriors need his length, he was there, so that was good to see. But as far as offensively, he was good, but pretty standard Kevin Durant. Because the headliner was Steph Curry, and KD knew that also, and that's another thing we're going to talk about in a little bit. Steph, 17 of 32, 11 of 19 from 3, 3 of 3 from the free throw line, which is ridiculous. 6 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks. Steph becoming a rim protector, man. 48 points. Steph was incredible tonight. He took over the game from jump. He had 16 points in the first quarter, 24 in the first half. 35 through three quarters, 48 through the entire game. That's a consistent game for Steph. It's not just one of those games where he goes off for a 20-point plus, you know, quarter and then a couple random fine ones. He was consistent tonight in his 36 minutes, or just about 37 minutes. He was consistent throughout all four quarters. Not only that, he also, every time Dallas would come down, knock down a shot, something like that, make a play, Steph would answer. Steph would answer with a three. He was incredible tonight. He was MVP Steph tonight. And he did it at a time when the Warriors needed it the most. Going to take a quick break, come back, hear some of Steve Kerr's thoughts on tonight's game. And that's all coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. I'm Charles T. Hamilton, your host. What's good? Warriors beat the Mavs 119-114 in Dallas tonight. I keep saying tonight, and I'm trying to act like it's Monday. Yeah, I recorded this as soon as the game ended, so sorry. It's technically Sunday night, and you guys aren't going to hear this till Monday. Anyways, that was a waste of time, me explaining that. The Warriors end up beating the Mavs. Steph goes for 48. MVP Steph. Steph and KD's chemistry was on point, as good as I've seen since the beginning of the year. And it showed on the final three from Steph to put the Warriors up three late, kind of wrap the game up. When you expect that KD-Steph pick and roll to happen, and Steph kicks it to KD, KD kicks it right back, says, no, go to work. Steve Kerr actually talked about that specific play and just the feel that these two have for each other on the court right now.
Yeah, KD did that quite a bit tonight. He knew Steph had it going. And there were a couple plays, that I called for Kevin, and he said, no, let's flip it. You know, let's go the opposite way with, where they just changed spots. Those guys always have a great feel for what's happening on the floor. And KD's so unselfish. When he sees somebody going, he's going to try to get him the ball.
Kevin said that, like, on the bench as you're drawing it up, you mean?
In timeouts a couple times, I drew up a play, and he just said, why don't Steph and I flip? And, those guys, they have a feel for what's happening on the floor, and so I'm always, willing to change up and make sure they're comfortable out there with what we're doing.
And Steve Kerr wasn't the only one who notices it or was asked about it. Draymond Green was asked about the same thing, and he actually had a great detailed response to it. Here's what Draymond had to say.
It's going really well, it's the plays are one thing, but as a player, I watch on the floor and we run a play and KD get ISO with Jalen Brunson, which I like that matchup. KD can score on just about anybody, let alone 6 foot point guard. He can't score on anybody, but he threw the ball right back to Steph and flattened out, and Steph hit the three. That's the play I like more. Changing the play in the huddle is one thing. To know you got a match, a mismatch, and you probably the best scorer in the world, and you get that ball back because you see Steph got it going, that's the type of plays that win championships.
How locked in is KD on the little things like that right now?
He's very locked in on stuff like that. Last game, obviously we beat Chicago by 40 or whatever it was. But I noticed a lot of plays in the first half where, one play, Zach LaVine, they ran the back screen down screen for Zach LaVine. He was wide open. KD blew it up, saved the play. One play, their big man was screening in. And I didn't see the screening coming, which should have been a switch out for me. KD blew the play up and still got around the screen. And it's little plays like that, like I said, no one would ever notice. But that's how I know when he's locked in, because he's capable of making all of those plays. And, he don't do it all the time, which I don't expect him to do it all the time. But when he's locked in, he make those plays, and he's been making them. And, he's just locked in throughout every aspect of the game.
Great detailed response right there from Draymond, just about how he knows KD is locked in. And the fact that I guess it goes with just being locked in to know that Steph's killing him, that Steph's on point right now, so get him the rock. One of the things that I like about these quotes, and maybe I'm just reading too much into it, but it just battles the narrative of just KD not wanting to be here. Maybe he doesn't want to be. I mean, who knows? Who knows what's in his mind? But it just goes against some of the weaker narratives out there about his free agency and this and that. And he's just focused on hoops. That's all it is right now, as far as I can tell. Again, who knows? And I probably am reading too much into it. But I like those quotes. I like what they said. And I like that we can see it on the court, too. They're not just trying to explain it to hype him up or anything. Like, we see it happen in real time. One of the things I mentioned earlier about the game was Steph came out in the third with about 1:44 left. And he came back in around 8 minutes or so. 8.5 minutes, and then KD came back at about 6.5 minutes. So the minor stagger is there, but not in the same way that it was doing, that Steve was doing it earlier. And he was asked about it and basically said it's all just in preparation for the return of DeMarcus Cousins.
Just felt like with DeMarcus coming back next week, we're going to want to look at something obviously a little different because of his presence, but it'll be easier to make that adjustment off of the current rotation.
So Steve Kerr basically confirming something we've all talked about for a while now, that Boogie will most likely play some minutes or a good amount of minutes with the second unit and probably start the second and fourth on the floor. And it's kind of just going back to the normal rotation of Steph and KD playing the entire first and third and, you know, the last 6 minutes of the second and fourth. I do like, however, the move that he made tonight where he took Steph out with about a minute and a half, 2 minutes left to go, just so you can bring him back a minute or two earlier. Be interesting to see if that sticks. Just to be able to have him back just a little bit earlier. Just the tiniest of stagger. He went the other way with it recently, and that's what we saw. But just a little bit of stagger will be interesting. I liked it personally. League pass picks for tonight, Monday night. 6 games this evening. Couple of good ones. I'm tempted to pick Pistons Jazz, but, you know, I have a feeling that Blake, great game, was aided by the fact he was playing the Clippers. So I'm going to go with the Trailblazers at the Kings. Both good, high-scoring teams. Blazers have played the Kings well. Damian Lillard had some late-game heroics last time they played. Should be a fun, high-tempo game. And then Pelicans-Clippers. Clippers, still good record, 24-18, but they might be coming back down to earth eventually, where, you know, they have a lot of nice high-end role players, I guess you could say, but no stars, and Pelicans, obviously, it's the Anthony Davis show. So those are the two for tonight, Blazers, Kings, Pelicans, Clippers. I'll be back tomorrow with another episode of Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You can't climb a mountain if it's smooth, right? You got to go over the rough spots. Peace.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on the Golden State Warriors. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.